So I was mentioning that this has been a little bit hectic. I suffer from this problem, and it's an inability to say no. And that shot me in the foot again last week. I was asked to take the high school class on Wednesday night, and without any thought, I said yes. Well, as a result, I missed our introduction to the book. So if I repeat some things that you heard last week, I'm sorry. But I just need to make sure that I'm on the same page with you and that we're all moving through this together. I did have the chance to sit in with Larry in the high school class on Sunday and get an idea of the direction that he at least wants to go with the high school kids in this class, and we'll hopefully take things just a little bit deeper. But we're going to be following the book. So this is different for me. It's a little bit of a roll of the dice. Not really sure how it's going to go. My teaching and preaching experience has been book, chapter, verse. So you put together as many verses as you can, and you expound upon them, and an hour is gone, and everybody goes home. So going through a book like this and dealing with these conversations, this is as new to me as it probably is to you. How many of you have been in through studies like this before? Is this new to most? Okay, so we're just going to figure it out together. And I'm most certain that Larry has a more decisive plan probably than I'm going to have tonight. But I think that we're at an early enough stage in the book that if I muddle it up, Jerry can fix it on Sunday morning from the pulpit, and then Larry can fix it next Wednesday evening, and we'll all survive just fine. I have some questions, though. How many people have read the book all the way through? Okay, how many people are just reading to keep with the class? That's what I'm doing. For a couple of reasons. Mainly, I forget stuff. And I get boggled. So I read over here, and then I think that applies over here. And I'm just kind of wanting to look at this book from a fresh approach. How many people are enthused about this class? How many people aren't sure? Never done it before. You know, and that's great. You know, I would, honesty, I know Larry wants honesty, I want honesty, Jerry wants honesty, whoever is up here, we want to know what you think. And as we go through this class, we want your input. For those of you who are enthused about the class, why? Mark?
So, there's sometimes not a lot of time spent with how to. In other words, we know a lot about God's Word. We study a lot about God's Word. That's sufficient and that's enough. But when you're with somebody, when you're engaging somebody, or you want to engage somebody, all of us in this room have thought about, you know, I could go talk to that person, but then we don't. This is more of a blending of what we know in God's Word with, here's how you can approach this. Here's something that you can maybe even plan out in terms of Scripture to approach folks. If you're not terribly comfortable or confident or experienced in doing that, and this kind of lays it out in a sense. Not a replacement, but it is the manner in which then we go about using that. So that's why I'm doing this.
Okay, June. Make sure that our tools are guiding us in the right direction. There's you can go to Valley River or wherever the Bible bookstores, and there's a lot of tools in those stores. We still want to make sure that as we're going through a book like this, that when it's giving Scripture, that we're not succumbing to the same things that Mike is succumbing to and just taking it for
granted or for gospel because it was written down. So we want to make sure that we're taking these scriptures and these applications of scriptures and we're putting them up against that measuring stick. Let me ask you this. As a congregation, now we can only speak for ourselves to a certain degree, but as a congregation, how good are we at this? Now, before you answer that question, I want you to look to the left and look to the right. And I want you to envision this building 6 years ago. 10 years ago. How good are, do we need this? I do. I'll tell you another reason why I'm excited about this. I, through my school years, my college years, as a Bible student, I am a horrible note taker. My brain works an awful lot like that little steel ball in a pinball machine. It's here, there, it's here, it's there, ooh, you know, bright lights. Squirrel, whatever it is, it doesn't take a lot. And so when you've got someone that is, there is nothing in this book, not a scripture in this book that we have not studied and studied and studied, correct? There is not a technique in this book that we have not been taught from the pulpit, from a Bible class, in some sort of Bible study. This is just another way of approaching it. And for a guy like me, it's a great cheat sheet because I can come to the back and I can look up all the verses for that particular chapter. I can, now, I was a short-lived member of the Baptist Church. I shouldn't have told you what the sinner's prayer was. But we have that reference material right here. And we have in a lot better form than my notes would be, a laid out path to walk somebody through the steps of salvation, through understanding their position in life. Now, I look at this book, and it reminds me a lot of, Jerry would be up here, and he would just lay things out, and I think, he's doing that so easy, I can remember this. Got it. Well, we have two sets of doors to get out of this building. And by that second set of doors, I was like, oh, what was that verse? What was that verse? And a classic example of that was Jerry was teaching a class on a Wednesday night, and he was talking about the office of an elder. And that was, you know, I focused in on that, and I didn't take notes because he made it sound so easy. But I had some young boys from the Mormon church at my house, and we were having a Bible study, and my wife asked him, how do you wear the name elder? And we got into a Bible study over that. Well, I didn't have all that information. And I'm a horrible note taker. And Jerry's laid it out two or three times that I can think of. One of these days I'm going to write it down, or Jerry's going to have to write a book. This is just a tool, and we can get out of this Bible series whatever it is that we choose to get out of it. If we put nothing into it, what can we expect to get out of it? Nothing. Is every encounter with people in the world going to go as smoothly as the first four chapters of Muscle and a Shovel? It's not. And we'll talk about that just a little bit tonight if I ever hush and get to it. So just, you know, for me, it was just, this is just another way of approaching things. I'm a learn by doing kind of person. And so, you know, walking through this and seeing the way that Randall deals with Mike and his questions and the way that Mike is influenced by the world and the people around him and all of those things, it sets up scenarios where we can actually kind of walk through it with him. Most of us have faced some of these things, haven't we? All right, so let's open up. Larry told me you guys finished on page 22. He told me to, and this is all he told me, ask you about your homework. What was your homework assignment? Did I remember? Mars?
You
asked
us to walk up and meet somebody.
Okay, how many people did that? Now, you remember Larry standing up here on Sunday night talking about how he was going to use those high school kids as an example? That is twofold, folks. On Sunday mornings, he is going to step into that high school class, and he is going to point out our shortcomings to those young people, and he's going to challenge those young people to be better than we are. Now, most of us have a pretty set routine, don't we? I do. Alarm goes off at 4:45. I get up. Sometimes I lay back down on the couch. I get to work by 6. I work for a while. I go have some coffee at the same place I have coffee all the time with the same waitress, the same individuals in there. I go back to work. The only new people that come through my shop are people that the hardware store sends down looking for something that I don't have or an occasional customer. But I have a pretty set routine. Is that an excuse for not meeting somebody new? How do you know my routine? Is that an excuse? I'm retired. I don't get out of the house very often. We go to the store, don't we? Do you know what my first real memory, if you will, of Larry? It wasn't when he came and taught a meeting to us. It wasn't any of that. It was Larry showed up. The next week, this showed up. And the same week this showed up, Catherine from Home Depot showed up. Why did Catherine from Home Depot show up? Because Larry and Donna met her and invited her. Just like that. Can we do that? I know some of you are doing it because we've flown through those business cards. Okay, Larry is going to beat you up next week when he asks you about your homework. Just introduce yourself to someone. I eat out more than I should because I'm lazy. And I'm a people watcher. You know what I see almost every time I go out? At least one of the tables in the restaurant will have one or two or three people there, and they will be discussing Bible topics. At the coffee cup in the back room, they close that off, and different groups come in, and they have Bible studies. And in the backstage bakery where I go to have my coffee on Friday mornings, there's a group of gentlemen that come in and sit in there and they have Bible studies. Do you know that the world is searching? The world is searching. How many of us look past those people in those Bible studies? We just look past them. We don't see them as fertile ground, do we? Oh, they're already in their thing. I can't teach them anything new. They're searching, aren't they? They're taking time out of their day to have a group Bible study. Go introduce yourself. Everything that we do for the first time is uncomfortable. For those of you who were here 14 and a half years ago when we came over and I had to step into this pulpit, it was terrifying. You are some scary people. We live inside a box. And we can choose to stay inside that box in our little comfort zone, or we can imagine our box getting a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger, can't we? Bringing more things in, stepping outside the walls of that box. So, how many people, before Larry gets back, now there was more than one thing on the homework. Anybody remember the others? What kinds of questions can we... Okay, that's kind of hard, isn't it? What I have found is that you can work this into conversations. I get phone calls all the time. Can you come to my house and meet me and go over my kitchen with me? And most people are like me. They're busy during the day, so when do they want to meet? In the evening. So there's a few things that I like to talk about and like to know people that I'm involved with. And so I will let people know, okay, I can't come on Tuesday because I'm coaching a game, and I can't come on Wednesday because I have Bible study. At least 50% of the time, people will say, well, where do you go to church? Just like that, you can get it into a conversation, can't you? We just have to be a little bit creative. Why do you think it's hard?
Rejection.
That's my biggest fear. Did you know that? Very seldom will I ever come and ask you to do anything for me. Why? Because I think you won't do it for me? Nope, that's not it. Can't stand the thought of that. No, that. Get away from me, you're weird. Just that rejection. I don't like it. I hate it. Makes you really, there's a lot of things I'm not afraid of. Rejection, can't stand it. So you put yourself out there and you stand a chance, don't you? Has anybody ever died from rejection?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Yes. It's not just to know, these are like Rachel and I have been talking about.
It is, what's a good way to use this book?
Read it yourself.
Well, why did I tell you I do way more than I should? No, I go out to eat. And I like to eat by myself. I like it quiet. I don't want to hear you chew your food. I want to think about what I want to think about. And so today I had to go to the doctor, get some blood work done, have some tests, do all that kind of stuff. What did I do in the waiting room? I read my book. When I went into my doctor's office, and they're going to take my blood pressure, and they're going to do all that kind of stuff, I have all my paperwork, and where was my book? It was on top of my paperwork, tied up.
You can give people the opportunity, especially people that see you on a regular basis, to ask you that question. Can't you? We just have to be creative. Think a little bit outside the box. Don't be afraid to try stuff. People pay more attention than you think, especially if you are kind and courteous to those individuals. All right, so your homework, I'm going to give you a little bit of a reprieve right here. Let me ask you this. Let's go to the book. Let's turn to page 22. And let me ask you this about the book. How long, at this point right here, we're only 22 pages into the book, how long had Mike and Randall known each other? How long? 4 months. Why is that significant? Yeah. What can we assume right here about Randall and Mike? Well, we know we can read that they have developed this friendship. What do we know about Randall, his character?
He's outgoing.
He's outgoing. He's a hard worker. He doesn't appear to have a lot, but he dresses sharp. He's not disheveled. He is on task, and he recognizes people. Did Randall wait for Mike to come meet him when Mike came to work at this company?
No.
When's the best time to meet somebody? When they're new. You know when it's awkward to meet somebody? When they've been attending in your congregation with you for a month, maybe 2 months, and you're not really sure if they're new or they're not, and now you're like, I don't know if I want to go up and, you know, maybe they've just been visiting. So how do I make sure that I meet and I greet the new person in whatever situation? Maybe it's a new, for me, maybe it's a new girl at the coffee stand or a new guy at the coffee stand or a new person at the restaurant. How do I do that? Pick my head up. Look around. Pay attention. Get out of our bubble. Where do most people live today? Right there, don't they? Okay? Right there. Pick your eyes up and notice people. Randall noticed people, didn't he? How many people at this company do you think Randall has had these conversations with? Everyone, yeah, exactly. Everyone that he could, right? I remember, it was humbling. It's been 15, 16 years ago. I had a customer that I'd done a lot of work for look at me and go, "You're a Christian?" Isn't that awful? I don't remember swearing or doing any of those types of things around this person, but I wasn't exuding that enthusiasm and that love for life and that appreciation for the gifts that were given, was I?
Apparently not.
Now, do you think that's a comfortable thing for me to stand up here and share? Do we have to put on a facade that we do it all right? That we understand it all? So, they've known each other for 4 months. Why is that significant? They developed a relationship. Okay, now, that's not an approval for you to drag your feet, but it's also, I've met individuals, and I've seen people run off. I've hired people that were really enthusiastic about their beliefs. And, man, I couldn't show them how to do anything at work. They just, that's all they were going to do. They were going to save me. We can put people off, can't we? When somebody walks through the back doors of the building, if that's the first time we meet them, we walk up and say, "Hey, are you Christian? Where do you go to church? Do you baptize? Do you say? Do you belong in this building? Where did you used to work?" "Oh, they're wrong. Everybody in that church is going to hell." Is that how we meet people? Is that ever going to work? Okay, it's not, is it?
So let's take a lesson from Randall. Let's develop some relationships. Why don't we develop relationships with people?
Because they're scary. Because we're what?
We don't do it because it takes work. You have to invest yourself into that other person.
Yeah. Have you ever done that? And then went, "Oh, man, what did I do? This person's a train wreck. They're at my house. They're calling me on a regular basis." We're opening ourselves up, aren't we? Okay? So we have some legitimate fears, but they're fears. They're not excuses. And so we have to figure out where to put those things in our life and how to categorize them and not use them as an excuse for never doing our job as a Christian. Why was it that Randall, or excuse me, that Mike thought that Randall was different from other Christians, other sorts of Christians?
Those of you who've read ahead didn't know.
There was a guy in the office that told him he was weird.
Okay. That's not what I'm thinking of, but that is accurate. Carol?
He knew Bible verses and was understood everything that he said was a could back it up.
Yeah. He knew Bible verses. You know, we had these Mormon boys come to the house, and we sat down with them, and I'll be the first one to tell you, I'm not great. I like my Bible. I know where stuff's at in my Bible, and I like my study Bible because I can find things even better. But I am not a memorization person. That is an excuse, by the way. Haven't put the effort into it. But we sat down with these kids, and we turned to verse and verse and verse and verse and verse. These are boys that were trained in their church to go out into the community and been knocking on doors, and they said, man, we have never met anybody like you. And I thought, I am nothing. You should come see the people I worship with. But the world is shocked by that. That you can quote verses out of your Bible, that you can explain verses out of the Bible. Now, I'm not, and this is, as I was reading this and I was studying this, I can't tell you how many times I thought about just calling Jerry. Because we're at a part in this where really someone with Jerry's experience, Jerry spent a lot more time, A, teaching people 1v1, B, studying the differences between right and wrong, and can explain without a hiccup the beliefs of the Baptist Church and the Lutheran Church and the... And I just, to be really honest with you, have never put a lot of time or effort into those things. But it's important, isn't it? Do you think Randall has an understanding of where Mike is coming from? Does, doesn't he? This is one, and I don't want you to answer it out loud. Mike makes the comment that, let me find it. Right here on page 22, lots of so-called Christians knew a few passages that fit their particular beliefs. Have we ever fallen into that category?
That's a dangerous place to be, isn't it?
Larry pointed out to the teenage class that it's possible for anybody, really through the workings of Satan, if you will, to go to the Bible and twist things around and move things around and pull this and pull that and present a point. So, you know, that's why we're instructed to be like, was the Bereans? I don't care if you're an apostle. I'm going to check it out. Be able to prove it. All right. Forgot where my notes went. I got two different pages up here, so. We're 4 months into this relationship. Right? They have had conversations of a spiritual nature. What kind of conversations could those be? Well, we haven't got the Bible study yet, though. Yeah. If I'm having a conversation with Bill, Bill and I have just met, and Bill likes to fish, and I like to fish. Can I mention that, you know, I just think it's amazing how God created. I can introduce that, can't I?
Somebody over here offended that I didn't pick a woman that likes to fish?
Okay. But I just like how Randall does it. Mr. Mike, did you know that Christ is coming back? He came right out of the blue, didn't he?
So he's tippy-toed long enough, hasn't he? He's developed a relationship. He's comfortable with where him and this young man are at. And he just hits him with a question. Do you know that Christ is coming back? Mike says, when's he scheduled?
Being kind of funny. This is where I think that it's important, and we can see that being able to quote some Bible verses, not to have to go to your book every single time. Without hesitation, Randall replies, Matthew 24:36 says, of that day and hour knoweth no man.
So Mike's trying to be cute with his answer, and Randall hits him right there with just the scripture, doesn't he? Quotes the scripture to him. Yes.
To
use Acts 1:9 through 11. I'm going to write it in mind.
Acts 1:9 through 11.
I'm dyslexic. But can we see how Randall opens this conversation? Gets it right there, doesn't he? Gets it started. So down here towards the bottom.
Boom, boom, boom.
Mr. Mike, that verse says that Jesus will take vengeance on them that obey not the gospel of the Lord. The question is, have you obeyed the gospel of the Lord? So 4 months in, now he's going to hit him with this question. What's Mike's response? I've been saved, if that's what you're talking about. How are you saved? Now, we see here that he lets us know that Randall asked respectfully. Did my tone of voice right there when I said, how were you saved, sound respectfully? It didn't, did it? We need to be careful there, don't we? Well, how were you saved? Engage him in that conversation. So Randall listened with rapt attention, never interrupting. What do we want to do? Oh, wait. That's not how it works. If we interrupt that person that's explaining something that was important to them with our correction, what's that going to do in that relationship? Mm-hmm. I get in trouble for this one all the time at home. Because I just know what she's going to say, so I'll just shorten the conversation. It's rude. It doesn't work. After 26 years, if I come to church with a knot on my head from the rolling pin, you'll know that I deserved it. It doesn't work. So what does Randall do? He sits and he listens. Then he asks a question. Mr. Mike, were you ever baptized? Yeah, when I was 13. So you were saved when you was 8 by saying the sinner's prayer, and then you was baptized 5 years later. Do we notice anything about the way Randall talks? Is he an educated man? Do we know? Where's he working? Sydney. So, yeah, is it? Why does that matter? But who's more intimidating to you, to me, who's more intimidating to talk to about these things? That person with the extremely high IQ that uses huge words and...
Gary or Larry?
Yeah, Gary or Larry? they're not intimidating though.
So
they do use big words. However, when Jerry uses big words, I know what he's talking about. Because he doesn't use a big word to a big word to a big word, he uses a word that best defines what it is that he's talking about right there. I don't have a big vocabulary, but I know what he's talking about. My point in bringing this up is, do you have to have a college degree, gone to Florida College or any other college, and learn to be a preacher before you can sit down and talk to your coworker about the gospel?
No.
Okay, we just eliminated that excuse. Kara? Mm-hmm.
Now, am I getting this right? He's being very humble and just making sure he's asking questions instead of pushing.
He's also, Larry pointed this out on Sunday, he's setting him up. One of the things, and Larry expounded upon this, so this is not me being a genius, when you're having a study like this, you want to be very clear. And I want you to be very clear about what you believe in. So, you were saved at 8 by saying a sinner's prayer, and then you were baptized at 13, 5 years later. Okay, so then he comes back around and he asks basically the same sets of questions. Why did you get baptized? If you were saved at this age, why did you get baptized? Brings him back around. What he's doing is he's pinning Mike down into this box, making it very clear to Mike what Mike's reasons for his actions were, how he believes that he was saved, and making it very clear to Mike that he knows how he was saved. Why is that important? Have you ever taught a teenager how to drive? Now, I am not picking on my teenagers right here. This actually was teenagers before I had teenagers. But you start to teach them how to drive, or you're teaching a young person something, and you're like, oh, don't do that. You need them to watch it. What do they say? I know. Oh, well, that's not what I meant. Okay? Randall is making sure that Mike cannot talk his way back out of these facts right here. Okay? And so now, they have been having this interaction, and it's been very cordial and very friendly, very caring, but Randall's getting to his point, isn't he? So Randall listens to all of this information, and then he hits him with it. Mr. Mike, saying the sinner's prayer is not obeying the gospel of Christ. Secondly, no one's ever in the Bible been saved that way. How do you think that hit Mike? What was Mike expecting? A little pat on the back? Well, good job, buddy. I'm so glad that you're saved. What we need to see here is, one, that tact and that understanding of how people work that Randall had, but also the fact that there does come a time in our conversations with people when it's time to quit dancing and just put it there. I've established this relationship with you. Now, it's time to get down to business. I can remember one of, Larry's only been with us maybe a few months, and he preached a sermon, and in his sermon he was basically talking about, you know what? There comes a time when you just have to move on. Right? That's hard, isn't it?
But there comes a time when you need to take that energy and put it someplace else. Randall has reached this point with this young man. Now, he's not going to give up on him, but he's put it out there. And what was Randall's point of view? He's put enough information on the table and challenged Mike enough that now Mike is willing to do what? Have a Bible study. Now we can get down to it. We're friends already, but let's get together on Mondays and let's study the Bible. What happened to that Bible study? What's that?
Postponed. It got postponed. Why? Yeah. And then what? What happened? Why?
His supervisor told him that this guy
was crazy and he was telling everybody he didn't belong to the church and he was just wrong thinking
about it. Are people going to
say that about you? They already are. Right? Okay, so we can get over it. We're all in the same boat, right? Some people are going to think we're nuts. You can revel in that. Or you can just, I'll just conform. I like this saying in the book. Mike said it. Doubt causes indecision. Indecision causes inaction. Inaction causes us to put the important back there where the important things reside. Inaction causes idleness and additional doubt. Now this is Mike questioning and doubting Randall and doing what? Why did Mike want to have a Bible study with Randall? Carol? That's important, isn't it?
Bruce also repeatedly saw that Randall cared.
Yeah.
Randall cared, and he never said anything without it pointing right back to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
No one in the Bible was ever saved that way. Even in informal communication, he's still pointing to the Bible.
Yes. Yes. But that doubt interrupted this Bible study, didn't it? Okay, and that's the reason why he's saying that it causes you to put the important things back where the unimportant things reside. What's the unimportant thing? What Kirk thinks about you. What's important? Mike has just realized that there is a good chance that all his life he thought he was saved, he was going to heaven, and that's not going to happen. I was there like 27 years ago. Walked into a Church of Christ with Vicki the day after we met and went, "Oh, this is different." I'd been everywhere. Doesn't take long if you're looking. And somebody puts it in front of you before you realize and you have to make a choice. Linda, did you have your hand up? Important in Linda's life, those of us who know Linda. I can think of two. No, I'm thinking of a couple young ladies, one that's going to have a baby here pretty soon. Linda's daughters are extremely important to her. And so what does Linda talk about? Linda's daughters. Right? God is important to you. What does Linda talk about? What do we talk about? In October, it's deer hunting. Right now, it's fly fishing. We talk about what's important in our life, don't we?
if we're never... See, this is a self-examination class. If we're never talking about this stuff, what does that truly say? Yeah. What does that say about us? So it's brass tacks time, folks. It's time to start looking at ourselves and saying, all right, where am I at? Where do I want to be? Because if we're just complacent and we're just along for the ride, we're not any different than Mike here. I don't know a lot about Randall, but I know in 26 pages that the man loves God and that the man wants to be right with God. Do people know that about us? You know, one place that I need to work on people knowing that God is important to me is when I'm behind the wheel of that Dodge out there. I am a crabby driver. We have to think about that stuff, don't we? Have you ever been driving to church and somebody cuts you off and you just want to honk at them, or you want to swerve at them, or you want to get really close to them, and then they pull into the same parking lot you're pulling into, and you're like, woohoo! The whole idea of this book is to help us to understand that it's simple, really. It's a lot of work, but it's simple to be pleasing to God and to do the types of things that Randall is doing here. Now, we are going to be clear to December, okay? I didn't get anywhere. Chapter 4 is where we get our first little introduction. It's a short chapter, and Randall is going to hand off this piece of paper with a set of scriptures on it. That's it. Hey, man, when you get a chance to read this, tell me what you think. Could we do that? That's safe, right? You just write it on a business card and hand it to your waitress. You know, and if she spits in your food the next day, she's not interested. But he just hands in this piece of paper, 1 Peter 3:21. At the end of this chapter, I'm going to leave it to you, but at the end of this chapter, it's interesting. What is the last line on page 37? What does Mike say about that verse? This is going to require a religious expert. You're going to encounter that. So you're going to sit down with this young Mormon boy that comes knocking on your door, wants to mow your grass or help you out, Jehovah's Witness, whatever it is, Baptist, I don't care. But when you start having that personal Bible study, what are they going to do? They're going to do the same thing you're going to do. When you get challenged and you don't have an answer, what do you do?
Find the answer.
Yeah. What's the easiest way to find the answer? I'm looking at one of them right back there, and there's several others in here. Hey, Jerry, I got posed this question. How do I deal with that? Hey, Larry? Okay, so let's not be shocked when these individuals get backup. Okay? It's all part of that sparring and that dueling. So clear into the month of December, that's when our first real exchange, and I'm going to leave that to Larry to discuss that exchange between those two. But now they're getting down to it. We're going to start talking about Scripture and how they apply. Is that maybe hard for that person? If I come to you and I point out, you know what, your preacher's been telling you the wrong thing for 15 years. How's that going to sit? If you have a relationship with that preacher and with that congregation, that's going to be hard, isn't it? Do you know what the hardest thing for a 23-year-old coming out of the world was to accept when I became a Christian? That the two most important, most influential women in my life, both of which are responsible for the fact that I'm not dead, are probably not in heaven. That can be hard for people. We have to handle that stuff. I remember sitting in a Bible class and Bill Farrell going, "Well, they're in hell." It doesn't work. So let's think about the way that we approach people. Let's think about the fact that we haven't approached anybody. And next week, when Larry asks how many of you have done your remedial homework, we can all have our hands up. Now, some of you have done this already. You just didn't pay attention to the fact that you did. I've known enough of you long enough to know that you're meeting and greeting everybody that you come across. And that you're making an impression. So, just pay a little bit more attention to what you're doing and put yourself out there. Thank you very much.